Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
The pitch. Swing and a foul tip. Yadi hangs on strike three. Martinez could use a strikeout and he got one. That's his first today. The pitch on the way. A swing and a miss. Reaching for a 97-mile-an-hour fastball sinking away. Leury Garcia strikes out. Back-to-back strikeouts now for Carlos. Carlos is ready from the belt. Martinez takes a look to Abreu at second. Another look back there. Now the pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck out the side after the double by Abreu.
Now the 1-2 pitch. Now he's out. Swing and a miss. That's strikeout number four. Three up, three down. Here's a swing and a miss, and down goes their leadoff man on strikes. That's the fifth K for Martinez.
I think hands down is the best pitcher in the game right now, and I think he's starting to realize that. I think everybody knows that around, like the media and the league, but I think like he's realizing that he can be the best pitcher in the game. So really happy for him because he goes out there and take everything serious and he's trying to do his job.
He delivers. Swing and a long one into left center. Get up, baby. Get up. Get up. Oh, yeah. He didn't hit it to right. He hit it over the wall, and the Cardinals lead 1-0 on a home run by Carlos Martinez, his first home run of the year.
I think when anybody hits a home run, our reaction's pretty intense. But, that was great timing, obviously. But, he's the guy who's a lot of time leading a lot of the stuff that happens after home runs, so I'm sure they're ready to reciprocate.
That breaks the streak of a dozen, cousin.
We've seen it before. We've seen it in batting practice. But he goes in Big Mac land in batting practice, so he has sneaky pop.
And he's enjoying it. Look at that trot as he comes around third.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I was a bit strong and was like so excited because I was waiting for that opportunity.
That's his first big league home run, and he enjoyed it. He heads over to the conga line. And he gets the high fives.
Yeah, I was in the video room, so I ran downstairs. And, he always gets everybody with water, so I had to get him.
At spring training, I was work hard every day, And this year, I want to be the 10th top of the Cy Young. And I just working hard every day.
Listen to this crowd. They're on their feet. They want another Cardinal win, 37,298. Norris to the belt, to the plate. Swing and a ground ball to the second baseman. Big hop. He got him, and the Redbirds win this one, sweep the series. Way to go, Bud Norris. He picks up his sixth save as the Cardinals win this game, 3-2.
Chicago White Sox, two-game interleague series, winning 3-2 today. And Carlos Martinez, the story. Today, Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford, Sports of the Line. Chris Raby with you on Camo X hanging out until 8 o'clock. Then Danny Mac with Inside Cardinals Nation from 8 until 9. His guest, Keith Hernandez. Then I'll be back with you for the Overhead Door Company of St. Louis Golf Show with Dan Reardon. Some golf to talk about Wells Fargo this weekend. Tiger Woods is back. And the countdown officially on about 3 months and change to the PGA Championship here in St. Louis. We can continue taking your phone calls at 314-436-7900. Going to talk a little horse racing with Doug Nachman before the Kentucky Derby. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, also some Stanley Cup playoffs going on. We'll get Mike Anderson's thoughts on what is happening around the Stanley Cup playoffs. Golden Knights and San Jose Sharks late night tonight. Excited about that. Just one NBA game tonight, which is underway. I believe the Jazz and Rockets getting after it. Have you heard of this NBA 2K league, Mike Anderson? An esports league, and each NBA team has a team, and they play NBA 2K.
I had not heard of this, but it doesn't surprise me at all.
They just started in New York.
I would
They're doing a 14-game season, and then a tournament at the end of that. And each NBA team has a team, and like it's real. And like they did a draft, and they have general managers, and like they drafted the esports players onto their teams.
Even teams that are playing in the playoffs right now have guys doing this?
No, it's not like they...
I thought you were saying the players, NBA players, were the ones running the teams and doing the drafting and playing
the
game.
No, the NBA teams have people running them, and then they drafted the nerds,
gotcha.
The video gamers.
Yeah. Oh, complete opposite. Gotcha. Yeah, that industry is huge.
It's unreal. I wish I could do it.
I was just hearing Mitch Marner the other night talking about how half of the Toronto Maple Leafs are all up playing Fortnite.
Fortnite
until
is the thing,
3 a.m.
Yeah. Fortnite's the thing. But I'm jealous as hell, man. I can't play video games like that. These guys are making real money, and they get to travel all over the place.
Well, they really need the money, though. Oh, we're not talking about the players. Never mind. I take that back.
Yeah, it's the video gamers, the e-sporters.
I'm all twisted.
436-7900.
You know, Wrecker knows a lot about that stuff, by the way.
He just simulates, man. He doesn't play.
Yeah, but he watches people play. He's big on the Twitch.
You can watch these games on Twitch right now.
Right, correct.
Let's pull it up. Let's see who's playing right now. I think it was the Warriors and the Jazz were just starting.
Seriously, huge industry. Millions of viewers.
I know. Ton of money. I'm jealous as hell. 436-7900. Got an open segment if you want to jump in. Whatever's on your mind. Then Doug Nachman coming up at the bottom of the hour. Chris Rabe with you. Mike Anderson's mega here in the KMOX studios. It's Dave Sinclair, Lincoln, and Ford Sports Open Line after a 3-2 Cardinals win over the White Sox. Back in a moment.
The Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues.
Little dipsy-doo, jabberoo!
On KMOX.
We've got Doug Nachman coming up in our next segment talking a little Kentucky Derby. And then it's Inside Cardinals Nation with Danny Mac from 8 until 9, his guest Keith Hernandez. I'll be back with you for the Overhead Door Company of St. Louis Golf Show with Dan Reardon from 9 until 10. So a little bit of everything tonight. Utah Jazz and former Mizzou head coach Quinn Snyder. Up 10-6 on the Rockets in Houston right now. Early Tampa 3-1 lead over the Boston Bruins. How about that? Pedro Martinez in the house in Boston, rooting the Bruins on. Cardinals 3-2 over the White Sox earlier today. They sweep the two-game series. Let's head over to Bush and hear from Mike Matheny following the Cardinals win. And what a day from Carlos.
Yeah, pretty well, I think when anybody hits a home run, our reaction's pretty intense. But, yeah, that was great timing, obviously. But, you know, he's the guy who's a lot of time leading a lot of the stuff that happens after home runs. So I'm sure they're ready to reciprocate.
Was he even talking as if he was going to hit one here pretty soon?
I haven't heard it, but I know that couldn't have come at a better time.
His home run try suggested that he had done that before.
No, I think it showed that he hadn't and that he was going to relish it a little bit and make it last. But whatever it takes, didn't bother me.
From your vantage point, what made him so good today?
Everything. I mean, that was probably as good a mix of his stuff as maybe I've ever seen, where he found that sweet spot for the movement and saw him reach back a number of times to elevate the four-seamer. The changeup was a wipeout pitch. I saw him pitching in really well on the first base side. Just the breaking ball he could throw behind the count. You couldn't ask for more than what he had today.
Looked like he and Yadi were in conversation, or he maybe intentionally kept his back to you when he came in after the seventh. How much of an argument, or how much did he lobby when he came out there?
He doesn't lobby much. No, he knows we're going to try and do what's right, you know. And if we don't score a couple more runs there, we're probably going to hit for him. With the 3-run lead, most likely he's still going to walk up there, and then we're going to go hitter like we did. And but he knew that he was close.
You talked a lot in spring about wanting to elevate that next tier.
Yeah.
It's only been 7 starts, but it's still been 7 starts as a chunk. Have you seen that?
I'd say 7 starts of that next tier. I mean, that's consistently the kind of stuff and execution that puts you at a different level, and he's been there. I looked up there and saw something about his April numbers, which I wasn't aware of, that's good as anybody here in this uniform. That says a lot, the kind of start that he's had. And even taking that first one, putting that aside and then getting on a good roll, that's not all that easy to do, but it's been almost progressively even better.
What do you think the difference is between where he was and where you think he can be and what he's going to show?
I think it kind of like what we talked about earlier, the ability to be able to back off a little bit. It all comes down to him finding that rhythm, which we see early in the game. A lot of times in that first inning, it's hard for him to find. But once he does, then he's got the sink. And once he has the sink, then he just starts adding to it. And, you know, when you have that kind of movement and you've got the velocity to go along with it, it's going to work for righties or lefties. And then he can, you know, start spinning the ball. And, you know, he just added pitches as he went and got better.
Did Clark and Marcel get involved in the ninth yesterday, and you had Dexter today? Was it nice to kind of check those boxes off a little bit?
Yeah, Dex felt good about his swing today. Found a little something that I think was a key for him, which you love to hear that, because you can talk about it all you want, but once they feel it, you know that's probably going to translate. And, you know, lined out, had a nice swing early, and then jumps in there, and that ball just carried. And nice to have a little warm weather, let that ball carry a little bit further. But he got the barrel to it, and good things happen when Dex gets the barrel.
Where's your confidence level with Bud right now? Yeah, this whole thing?
Yeah, it's amazing. Bud has come in big situations and continues to get big outs and get us out of jams. And, you know, he's one of the guys that's pretty rare right now that you can go 4 or 5 outs, and he figures out a way to get it done. What a great addition to our club he's been.
With Mo sharing the other day that for now, almost not going to be in the ninth inning, can you start to plan and build from Norris being the back end and build forward now? Or are you at that point strategy-wise you can employ that?
Yeah, I think it's Bud's game right now, but, you know, we're still going to continue to get all the guys locked in, and, you know, we're going to have other people that are going to pitch the end of the game. There's going to be times when Bud's down. There's going to be times when, you know, we might need to put Bud in a little earlier and he needs help. I mean, you just never know. But we have a number of guys that we're still trying to figure out and get that rhythm with how it works out of the pen. And, you know, nice options, but we're still trying to find it. But Bud has helped out by being able to come in and pick guys up.
For now, with that bridge kind of seventh or eighth, is it maybe waiting on either Jordan or Dom to kind of grab that and make that their own in the short term?
Yeah, I think we'll go situationally too. If we've got a lot of lefties, Tyler can go in there and get that done. We like Dom, the fact that he has had success against the left-handed hitters and a team like this with switch hitters. But I think we have guys that can. I mean, Gregerson's pitched in the eighth, and Dom's had a lot of success in the eighth. And obviously, we know about Holland. And, you know, Jordan's one of those guys that's just stuff. And as it's getting better and more on the plate, we'll see what kind of role that plays into.
Were you seeing things that weren't going right for Fowler recently?
Yeah, just results. You could tell he just wasn't picking up the ball. And you start compounding when you start making maybe even adjustments that you don't need to. What he found today just simplified, and it's amazing. Sometimes less is more at the plate. You get a chance to see the ball and then react with your hands. He's such a good athlete. But it was confidence more than anything else.
Is there a draw from Adam's bullpen?
No, but apparently went well.
Did Tommy forget the outs?
Yes. Yep.
The first week of May, so games mean what they mean, but with a day between now and this weekend, is it time to maybe get a little ramped up, a little more excited for that series this weekend?
We're always ramped up, always excited. We know the fans will be excited about this one too, so looking forward to it. And a couple games that everybody has contributed to, and a lot of positives to take into the next series.
Do you ever feel that to call some pitchers, or do you call the on-target position?
I've thrown to the pitchers a little bit, but that's typically Jamie Pogue or Brian Eversgaard. Both of them, and the pitcher's done a nice job. I mean, offensively getting bunts down, you can tell they've put a lot of effort into it and they're being rewarded.
It's Cardinals manager Mike Matheny after the 3-2 win. Cardinals knocking off the Chicago White Sox today, a 2-game sweep of the quick interleague series. And now we get ready for the Cubs come in this weekend. All right, quick break, and then we're back. Doug Nachman, our horse racing expert, talks Kentucky Derby with us on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sportsman Line on KMOX.
Following the Cards Cubs game Friday night, get ready for Live with Mike Shannon and special guest Cubs manager Joe Madden. It's Live with Mike, following the Cards Cubs game Friday night on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX. The Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues.
KMOX is like the birthplace of sports broadcast
on KMOX.
All right, back on Sports Open Line, Inside Cardinals Nation with Dan McLaughlin, coming up from 8 until 9 o'clock. But we say hello right now to our horse racing insider, Doug Nachman, as we get ready for the Kentucky Derby in Louisville this Saturday. Doug, happy Derby to you. What's going on, man?
Well, nothing exciting. I was fortunate enough to make it down here on Tuesday, so I've seen 2 days of racing thus far, and I look forward to a big weekend of racing. The Derby is a 20 horses, and this field is the best I've ever seen in any Kentucky Derby.
Wow. We'll get to that in a minute, but when you get down early, what are you doing? How are you spending your time? What are you watching for? I know it's early, and it's just the races leading up to Friday and then eventually Saturday, but for those of us who have never been down there, aside from Friday and then Saturday, what's it like down there early in the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Well, it's actually become a very crowded event. They've priced the tickets for the Oaks and the Derby so astronomical that a lot of the locals and other people that are on a budget, they come down for Tuesday, Wednesday, and what's now called Thurby. And you still get 70, 80,000 people there, but instead of spending $2,000 a ticket, you can get in for $100. So the people that are on a budget, that's what they come down, and they all have a good time, and they're not afraid to sip a cocktail or two down here.
Doug Nachman is with us, of course, the Oaks and then the Derby on Saturday. You just said that it's the deepest Derby field you've ever seen, 20 horses. What is it about the horses this year, the trainers, the caliber of what we're going to see on Saturday that stands out?
Well, there's four or five or six horses that could be possible Triple Crown winners. The majority of them might be undefeated. There's a lot of question marks, but you could have an absolute superstar in the field. And it could be one of five or six horses. We just don't know yet.
Tell me a little bit about some of the horses that stand out, Doug.
You know, I always look for long shots, horses that have had excuses in their most recent races, and I'm always looking for some type of value and finding horses that other people don't like. But from the favorite standpoint, you got Justify, who's undefeated from the Bob Baffert barn. You've got Magnum Moon, who's undefeated from the Todd Pletcher barn. You've got the European Mendelssohn, who's half-sister to Beholder, if anybody's ever heard of her. She won by 18.5 in Dubai. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You've got Good Magic, who won the Breeders' Cup last year at Del Mar from Chad Brown's stable, who looks very, very good. You've got Vino Rosso, who Johnny Velasquez, who rides for Todd Pletcher, had his choice of any Pletcher horse, and he took him. So it just goes on and on and on, and there's just so many horses with chances. And you got a 20-horse field. You know, the trifecta is probably going to pay $6,000. The superfecta probably pay $20,000. So you could throw a few bucks at it, and if you get fortunate, you could make a life-altering score.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a moment, but I'm curious about Justify and Magnum Moon, the two horses who didn't race at age two, and you got to go back to 1882 for a horse that's won the Derby after not racing as a two-year-old. Do you buy into that at all?
I mean, things have certainly changed over the years. The Europeans have adopted a style the last 10 or 12 years where you can run three or four or five times a year, and that's enough. And I think the United States has come to that conclusion as well. And these horses are much lightly raced. As long as you run first or second in one of your final prep races, you'll get enough points to qualify. So that's what the trainers do. They want to keep them fresh and young. And if they run first and second in the last race or two, they qualify. You know, Good Magic's only run twice this year. Justify's only run three times. But if Justify, let's say, would have broken a half a step slow in the last race and run third, he wouldn't have been in the race. So that's the risk you take by waiting to the last race or two before you get fired up to try to get enough points.
You know, you mentioned four horses for Pletcher. Having three of those down in the last six in the auxiliary gate, what do you make of that? How much do you pay attention to in that regard?
Well, two days ago I would have told you it's fine because I'm a big believer in track bias. And what that basically means is certain parts of the track are faster than others. And that's what gives me an advantage over most people who handicap. And I study it very closely. And 2 days ago, the outside was a preferred part of the track. But today, there was a big shift, and the inside part of the track was better. So if the track stays the same way, those horses starting from the auxiliary gate, in my opinion, are at a big disadvantage. So I'll be concentrating on horses from the inside part of the track. But then again, it may rain Friday, which may change it all. So you've got to be willing to adapt. And change, I will.
All right, Doug, give us maybe a long shot or two right now that you're looking at. We know that that's always your specialty. You've given us some great picks in the past. Who right now in that regard are you paying attention to, or maybe there's some value?
You know, the value to me is going to be Free Drop Billy. It's breaking from the two-hole with Dale Romans. It's one of my least favorite jockeys, at Robbie Alvarado, which I don't like at all. At 80-1, I'd probably take a flyer on him. The horse I may bet to win might be Good Magic. That's Chad Brown, probably the best trainer in the country. He won the Breeders' Cup last year, and he's going to be 10-13-1. And he looks like he's got a shot at a decent price. So those are probably my two, but things could change.
And then right now, if you are going to box a few up, who would you recommend that maybe we throw in with Good Magic and Free Drop Billy, whether it's maybe a couple of the favorites or if it's maybe another horse that could give us some value in there?
Yeah, I mean, Thomas Fulfilled is going to be on the lead, turning for home at about 80-1. He's got a chance. Bolt Dior was last year's super horse that really hasn't surfaced yet. He's got a chance. And, of course, Vino Rosso, who Johnny Velasquez took of the Pletcher stable, those horses have a chance. So I would say if you just wanted to box three horses, it'd be Free Drop Billy, Good Magic, and Justify would be my three-horse box.
All right, Doug Nachman, he is our Kentucky Derby and horse racing expert. Hey, enjoy it, man, over the next few days. I guess the best part of the week is that It's only Wednesday, so enjoy the rest of the week, and can't wait to chat again soon. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. I hope I'm still solvent by Friday.
All right. That's Doug Nachman joining us on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Quick break. We're back with more for this.
We're going to chase that Super Bowl.
This is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
1, 2, 3, 7, 8.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Keep talking sad like a bad leaves. I've got to find some better weeds. 4, 5 meters running around the bend when the government may just surround you again. If dying young won't change your mind, baby, 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 right on time. Out of control, but you're playing a role. You think you can go to the 18th hole? Where you flip out the day of the championship. Try to go it alone on your own forfeit. If dying young won't change your mind, baby, 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 right on time. Baby, 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 baby.
Sportsman Line continues. Thank you to Doug Nachman for joining us before the Kentucky Derby. Inside Cardinals Nation with Dana McLaughlin. Coming up from 8 until 9, his guest is Keith Hernandez. And then the Overhead Door Company of St. Louis Golf Show with yours truly and Dan Reardon. Coming up from 9 until 10. So we are hanging out until 10 o'clock right here on KMOX. Just happened in the Bruins Lightning game. Mike Anderson, David Backes headed down the runway.
He hit someone from behind. I'm not sure who it was, but he hit a Lightning from behind into the boards, and then Cedric Paquette was having none of it, dropped the gloves, grabbed Backes, and they brawled for a little bit there. But it was definitely from behind. Dirty hit, in my opinion.
Backes has been in the center of some controversies this year. Did not get suspended earlier this year.
Yeah, he's a feisty one, and, I mean, you got to like that element to him. That's what he's good for, but you just got to be able to toe that line like Tom Wilson apparently in the league's judgment wasn't able to do.
Yeah, so Tom Wilson gets a 3-game suspension for his hit the other night. Did that surprise you?
It did, especially when you hear analysts now saying, oh, I think it was because the jaw was broken is why they suspended him 3 games, which I don't agree with at all. I don't think the extent of the injury should determine the length
right.
of the suspension. And I don't know. I thought it was a fairly clean hit. I guess he made more head contact than I initially thought. But I saw him lead with his shoulder and his feet were on the ground. And it just looked like a good heavy hit. Now, of course, being a repeat offender gets him into trouble. But I think 3 is pretty harsh for it.
So what has stood out to you? Let's start on the Western side of the Stanley Cup playoffs right now. And I guess the most glaring series would be right now, the Winnipeg Jets, what they did to the Predators at home last night after Nashville went up 3-0 in the first period. They score 4 times in the second. They end up winning 7-4. They lead that series 2-1 and have game 4 at home. What a performance after Nashville had such an incredible start to that game.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. One of the best games so far in the playoffs, and that has stood out to be one of the best series. Really, all the series this round have been great. But, yeah, in that game, you kind of thought Nashville was sort of rising up to who we expected them to be. They lost game one. They probably got outplayed a little bit in game two, but found a way to get their win. And then in game three, they come out hot and they turn it on. You're like, okay, this is the Nashville we expected. This is
right.
the Winnipeg who's inexperienced and maybe it's catching up to them now. And then Winnipeg, I mean, within 5 minutes of the, I think 5.5 minutes of the start of the second period, put in 3 goals to tie it like that. And the building was rocking. And it was just an entirely different game after that. They went ahead and got the go-ahead goal in the second. And then at that point, it was shocking that Nashville was able to tie it in the third because momentum had swung so much into Winnipeg's favor. But, yeah, then ultimately there was, what, about 5 minutes left. Winnipeg pulled ahead and was able to ice it with some empty netters. So just an incredible game considering, you know, the 3-0 lead that a solid defensive team like Nashville had built up.
What an atmosphere. Both the buildings in that series, both Winnipeg and Nashville, just crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, really, you could say that about all four teams in the West for sure, but the size, the small size of the rink up in Winnipeg with how hungry those fans are for playoff success is a crazy mixture. Plus, I mean, any Canadian team, you're always going to have that rabid fan base. So, yeah, that place is getting loud, and Blues fans know how loud Smashville is. So, yeah, just incredible crowds on both sides there, as well as in Vegas and San Jose.
Oh, yeah, and I think the question now for Winnipeg, similar to Vegas, is can an inexperienced team close out a team that has been there? In the case of the Sharks, you know, getting to the conference final a couple of years ago and doing what they did after they beat the Blues. In the case of the Predators, the run they had last year, do you expect Winnipeg to be able to put the pedal on the gas and win another game at home and take a commanding 3-1 lead?
Ooh. I will say this. Either way, no matter what, I expect it to go 7.
Which would be awesome.
Yeah, I think it'll happen. As far as the inexperience, you know, that was Nashville last year, right?
Yep.
So they just did it. I have no reason to believe Winnipeg can't, especially since one of their biggest attributes is just their depth. And so I don't think they're counting on, like, just a Patrick Laine to put them over the top or just a Mark Scheifele. They're so deep, everyone can step in a little bit. I mean, even Paul Stastny has looked great for them. He's been involved in, like, half their goals, it seems like. Just always a net front presence for him, which is fun to see, so long as you're still supporting Stastny.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. I certainly think they can do it. Like I said, I expect that series to go 7 just because I think both teams are so good to me.
Vegas, meanwhile, after this Tampa-Boston game, has an opportunity to potentially go up 3-1 on the road in San Jose. If they win, they'd have an opportunity to close out at home on Friday.
Yeah, and what an atmosphere that would be to get to the Western Conference Finals. That would be unbelievable in Vegas, and what a fast series that has been. Really actually kind of shocking halfway through Game 2 when Vegas had built the 2-0 lead in Game 2. You kind of thought, wow, are they just going to steamroll the Sharks just like they did to the Kings? But a really good effort by the Sharks to battle back in Game 2 in Vegas. And then Game 3 in San Jose was a tremendous game that Vegas just barely squeaked out, which you would have thought the experience of San Jose would have propelled them in that close game and a tied series coming back home. But, man, Vegas just continues to defy the odds, and Marc-Andre Fleury has to be your playoff MVP as it stands right now. Now, there's a long way to go, but he has stood on his head. I think going into Game 2 of that series, his save percentage was like .982 in the playoffs so far.
Gosh. I think the question still remains, if you're a Blues fan, like, how do you feel about this, about what is going on? Because I think there's, like, jealousy, obviously, like, for not just Nashville, but for Vegas this year. It's great for the NHL, but is it like resentment? It would only be natural. Or do you enjoy watching the ride that they're on and the story that it's been and what it's going to do for the league?
Right. Well, I certainly understand if anyone would have resentment. I just remind myself then that I would at least rather see them win than, you know, the three teams that have always won for the past 6 years, being
fair,
the Kings, Hawks, and the Penguins. But, yeah, if anything, you have to just say this has to be a spur to the Blues. Like, if Vegas can do something like this quickly, it's got to really just prod Doug Armstrong and the management to really get something going here. Especially seeing a guy like David Perron do what he's doing there.
I hope so. You've got guys playing in the Worlds right now. Before we know it, it'll be the Stanley Cup final and then the draft and then free agency, and it seems like we're too often saying what a pivotal summer is coming up, you know?
Yeah, well,
like it's not a good sign if that's what you're talking about every year, how important the summer is going to be.
Right.
You know?
Well, I would say this year is different, though, being as it's the first time in a while that you haven't made the playoffs, right? So, I mean, Mike Matheny and the Cardinals can tell you how that really puts the heat on with the fan base, right? So, if you miss the playoffs again next year, you think the fans were upset this season, just wait and see what happens. If that happens 2 years in a row, that's a whole another ballgame. So, I agree. This, I mean, you can say that we've had these talks so many off seasons, but I really do think this one's bigger, just being as you didn't make the playoffs. And you do still have a strong core that you need to supplement with some talent, because otherwise you are just wasting the prime years of some really, really good players, in particularly a Petrangelo, Schwartz, Tarasenko, Shen, and throw Edmondson and Parayko up into there now.
Well, I think I'm still pulling for Washington to come out of the East. I don't know. Just be kind of fun.
It was an awesome, awesome finish last night.
Yeah, another team that Blues fans could be jealous of in terms of a team that's maybe getting the monkey off their back before the Blues. And then outside of that, I don't know. Like, I know Winnipeg's a division rival, but that's just been such a great story. And Stastny is such a big part of that team. And I guess then maybe Vegas. I've got more dislike for the Sharks and the Predators because they've knocked the Blues out the last 2 years.
Right. Absolutely. No, I would wholeheartedly agree with that. As long as anyone makes it from the West besides Nashville, I'll be pretty satisfied. But yeah, great stories in Winnipeg. It's always nice to keep a Canadian crowd into it in the tournament, because I think that just brings a whole nother intensity.
Yeah, let's get a Canadian team to win. They deserve it.
Yeah, it's been so long. Do you know who the last one was?
Wasn't it the Montreal back in like 93?
Yeah, 92 or 93. Yeah.
That's insane.
Patrick Waugh. Yeah.
26 years.
Yep. Yep.
Hey, Canada, we win again.
We're just better at hockey. That's
maybe a Canadian esports team. A NHL 2K esports team can win a Stanley Cup. Ryan Recker's Flames almost did it. Too soon to talk about that, though.
Yep.
All right, that's Mike Anderson. He's hanging out, and we have Inside Cardinals Nation with Dan McLaughlin coming up, and special guest Keith Hernandez. That is from 8 until 9. Then I will be back from 9 until 10 with the Overhead Door Company of St. Louis Golf Show. Dan Reardon, going to be along, my co-host. Really excited to talk about a whole bunch of things with Dan, because we have not just some great tournaments coming up, but some great storylines as we get closer and closer to the PGA Championship here in St. Louis. This weekend, we've got the Wells Fargo, and we have Tiger Woods playing in that tournament, along with a really, 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 really good field. So we'll get to that coming up with Dan Reardon after Inside Cardinals Nation with Dan McLaughlin and guest Keith Hernandez from 8 until 9. A big thank you to Kyle McClellan, also to Doug Nachman. Ben Boyd is the executive producer of the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Don't go anywhere. An hour of baseball talk and then an hour of golf talk after the news. This has been the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby, your host on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.